Hello, this is Jack Lynch, joining you all from Ireland. I'm calling my contribution Naming the Dead. I'm an Irish storyteller and I'm very honoured to be an associate member of Hakaya. I was first invited to their festival in Amman in 2011. As well as representing the Irish oral tradition, I spoke at the time of the common source and interconnectedness in our tradition of stories and songs, and the importance of collectors to our cultural history. I mentioned one such man, Frank Hart, a beloved cultural giant who had died in 2005. Frank had assembled a vast archive of songs of the people, and a maxim always associated with Frank was, "Those in power write the history, those who suffer write the songs." Well, sometime after returning to Ireland, I heard from my friends in Hakaya that they were arranging a weekend seminar on storytelling and that a keynote title they had given to one of the day's sessions was, "Those in power write the history, those who suffer write the songs." Dublin singer and song collector Frank Hart. Well, Frank's family were moved when I told them of this. I want to play you a recording of Frank singing a song called Dunlavin Green. This from a collection of the many songs about the Irish Rebellion of 1798. Dunlavin is a small town in the county of Wicklow and is about 60 kilometres south of Dublin. The tyrant in this case was a powerful colonial settler, Morley Saunders, a landlord, a judge, and the commander of the local militia of yeomen or redcoats. He and his associates suspected that the local men were about to join the United Irishmen, revolutionaries, in their uprising. Saunders had 36 men arrested, bound together in twos, and slaughtered in front of their families on the fair green of Dunlavin town.
In the year of 1798, a sorrowful tale, the truth unto you I'll relate. Of 36 heroes, the world were left to be seen. By a false information, they were shot on Dunlavin Green. Bad luck to you, Saunders, for you did their lives betray. You said a parade would be held on that very day. Our drums they did rattle, and our fifes they did sweetly play. Surrounded we were, and privately marched away. Quite easy they led us like prisoners through the town, to be shot on the plain, we first were forced to kneel down. Such grief and such sorrow were never before there seen. When the blood ran in streams down the dikes of Dunlavin Green, there is young Matty Farrell has plenty of cause to complain. Likewise the two Duffies who were shot down on the plain. And young Andy Ryan, his mother distracted, will run. For the loss of her darling, her own beloved eldest son.
Frank points out that the establishment historian can tell you all about dates and military matters and such like, but no historian can tell you what young Andy Ryan's mother felt. Naming the dead. The song goes on to deliver a curse on Saunders. It was a widely held ancient belief that the Irish poet, the Fila or the bard, could, with a curse, take away not just a tyrant's reputation, but could cause physical damage or even death. Another tradition, incidentally, was the use of the hunger strike as a weapon of resistance. Bad luck to you, Saunders, bad luck may you never shun. May the widow's curse melt you like snow in the sun. The cries of the orphans, their murmurs you cannot screen, for the loss of their fathers who were shot on Dunlavin Green. Thus ends the song. Here I'll introduce a quote from Bertolt Brecht. In the dark times, will there also be singing? Yes, they will also be singing about the dark times. Colonialism aims to take over a country and displace its population. This has always engendered resistance. One can compare the colonization of the Native Americans, Africans, Palestinians, the Irish, and so on. And it's only very recently that Aboriginal Australian artists have detailed the wars their people fought and the atrocities that have always been suppressed by the colonialist historians. The so-called playbook of all these colonial projects was developed against the resistance in Ireland, from Norman times through to Elizabethan Tudors to Cromwell, all the way down to our experience with someone you'll also know, the man we call Bloody Balfour. In the various orgies of genocide and ethnic cleansing and colonial plantations down the centuries in Ireland and in other territories, we see, of course, the settlers claiming that the stealing of the land is a God-given right. One arch tyrant in Irish folk memory is Oliver Cromwell. A phrase attributed to him is to hell or to Connacht. Now, Connacht is the relatively infertile western province of Ireland. Last week in the Knesset, the Israeli Minister for Heritage, Amichai Eliyahu, declared that, quote, Palestinians should go to Ireland or the desert. This, of course, was the same man who said that a nuclear attack on Gaza was an option. To hell or to Connacht? To Ireland or the desert? After Ireland's War of Independence in 1921, the various British state terror forces were withdrawn from the newly partitioned Ireland. These were the notorious Black and Tans, the Auxiliaries and members of the Secret Service, and were then shipped to, where to? To Palestine to do Britain's dirty deeds in the Protectorate. Well, Ireland, I'm relieved to say, has been an outlier amongst Europeans in its response to the ongoing slaughter in Gaza. Our President, Michael D. Higgins, was very quick to upbraid Ursula von der Leyen and her pro-Israel stance on the situation. The same von der Leyen expressed her Zionist leanings on a visit to Israel some time ago when she congratulated the Zionist pioneers by saying, "You have literally made the desert bloom." We know that BAE, British Aerospace, is a British multinational arms giant linked with Lockheed and one of the many companies who have long been developing and supplying lethal weapons to Israel. BAE supplied Hawk jets to the Indonesian dictatorship to use as bombers during the latter's 1975 invasion and genocide in East Timor. I was involved as an actor in a play by Donal O'Kelly and Kenny Glenan, a play called The Business of Blood. It was concerned with the arms trade and it came with a study pack on the arms trade whenever we played it for secondary school students. It depicted the long and dreadful occupation of East Timor, which the local Catholic Church reckoned resulted in a death toll of 60,000 to 100,000 people. The play centred on an English pacifist activist, Chris Cole, who attacked and damaged the nose cones of Hawk Jets with a sledgehammer and his subsequent jailing. It also depicted the 1991 massacre in the capital port, Dili, where 50 men, women and children were lined up and in sequence executed and let fall into the ocean. We toured the play throughout Ireland, north and south, and brought it to London. Every night, backstage, our stage manager, Marie Tierney, had a cardboard box filled with many slips of paper on which were written the names of some of those murdered in the genocide. During the play's interval each night, she dipped into the box and picked out six slips of paper. She then copied those names onto a page and put the name slips into the jacket pockets of us three actors. In the second half of the play, during a ritualistic scene, we actors took out and opened the slips and we spoke out the names before burning the slips of paper on the floor of the stage. The Indonesian killers believed that they were destroying all name and trace of their victims. Each night after the performance, the six names that Marie had picked out were emailed to the resistance fighters in East Timor, who knew that those people had been named out loud in front of a theatre audience that night in Ireland, naming the dead. Let me tell you about another slip of paper. It's one that I keep in my wallet, and I always say that it's the most valuable thing in there. It nourishes my belief in storytelling. It's a favourite quote of mine by the late John Berger, a great thinker and an artist in many mediums. He was a friend and sometimes translator of the great Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish. John always described himself as a storyteller, and he described storytellers as death's secretaries. Death's secretaries. The following quote comes from his 2007 book, Hold Everything Dear. What a lovely title. The book, to a large part, deals with the Palestinian situation, and this quote is from a chapter entitled 10 Dispatches About Endurance in Face of Walls. And here's what it says. The powerful can't tell stories. Boasts are the opposite of stories. And any story, however mild, has to be fearless. The powerful today live nervously. Stories are one way of sharing the belief that justice is imminent, that justice is on the way. And for such a belief, children, women and men will fight at a given moment with astounding ferocity. This is why tyrants fear storytelling. All stories somehow refer to the story of their fall. I'm coming to the end of my contribution and I wanted to give you a poem by Michael Rosen. Born into a Jewish family, he is a British children's author, well known, and brilliant poet and anti-racist activist and COVID survivor, thank goodness. This poem is entitled Don't Mention the Children, and it was written and published during the Israeli onslaught on Gaza in 2014. It was inspired by Rosen's reading of a newspaper headline that said, Israel bans radio advert listing the names of children killed in Gaza. Don't mention the children. Don't name the dead children. The people must not know the names of the dead children. The names of the children must be hidden. The children must be nameless. The children must leave this world having no names. No one must know the names of the dead children. No one must say the names of the dead children. No one must even think that the children have names. People must understand that it would be dangerous to know the names of the children. The people must be protected from knowing the names of the children. The names of the children could spread like wildfire. The people would not be safe if they knew the names of the children. Don't remember the dead children. Don't say dead children. In passing, I call for the safe relief of the 8 Israeli child hostages. I'm sure you've seen the recent exhortation of Arundhati Roy, the great warrior artist. In finishing these reflections, it's an honour to repeat her words. She says, "Our strategy should be not only to confront empire, but to lay siege to it, to deprive it of oxygen, to shame it, to mock it, with our art, our music, our literature, our stubbornness, our joy, our brilliance, our sheer relentlessness, and our ability to tell our own stories." Love to Palestine from Ireland.